Sean Harper from Kent Insurance on several times. You're the go-to, I think, in my opinion, on insurance because I trust you. When I talk to insurance people, I usually don't trust them. Kyle Nakasugi is another one that I trust. I talked to him. We talked about you at the B of A Cubs game we did. What was it, last week, Wednesday, something like that. So there's like a few people that I will talk to about insurance because otherwise I just, the whole... Don't get me wrong, I would love to have an insurance sponsor, and one of the studios at WGN is sponsored by Allstate, so we have to be nice, but at the same time, I don't believe half the shit these guys are saying, and it's like I want someone real to come in and be like, this is what's going on. So before we dive into the world of insurance, just give another brief synopsis of what Kin does.
Yeah, so Kin, we insure houses, and we do it with a minimum of pain. So when you're trying to buy a house... Or maybe you think you might be paying too much money for insurance. The last thing you want to do is have to fill out a bunch of paperwork and complicated questions about your home. Most people don't know the answer to things like how old are the shingles on your roof. Yep. The reality is people don't know the answer to that question. So we're really good at scraping up all the information about homes and understanding the physical traits of a property. And that allows us to insure you with just asking you your address and a couple of other types of information that you're like your birthday, for example. Yeah. So we make it really easy to get insurance at a very competitive price. And we're also able to insure some of the riskiest homes, which, you know, maybe you live by the ocean and it's a place where storms hit pretty often. That's a really good situation for us because we can figure out which homes are going to be more resilient to the storms.
So I want to segue with this a little bit into my just personal curiosity. Obviously, you know, as an example, you talk about homes by the ocean, homes in California that are near areas that are getting forest fire, you know, issues. It seems like every week another forest fire is breaking out. What are you seeing in the shift from the way people shop for insurance and sort of like how insurance as a whole is being used? Because I, for the first time, and we're nowhere near where we probably will be and where you want to be with the as it pertains to like people pushing back on their insurers, which I guess obviously would lead them towards you, I would think. I feel like I'm hearing more than ever, people complaining about the process of insurance. And just like, as an example, there was a fire. My aunt runs like a bunch of different, you know, apartments and stuff like that. And there was a fire and it burned half it down. And then the insurance company is basically just F you. Like there's been no, you know, one, she didn't know certain things weren't covered. She thought they were covered. There's been situations where they just late payment or paying what they believe it's worth, not what it's worth, not based on what you're paying for. So what are you seeing in the realm of how people are interacting with their insurance companies?
Yeah. So one thing that we've noticed that attracted us to starting this business is that what's state of the art in other industries, like for example, consumer lending. You know, Capital One can send you in the mail an offer of credit.
Yep.
You know, for actually a lot. And all you have to do is follow the URL on the mailer and go and you have a new credit card, right?
Yep.
That isn't something, that sort of data plus tech solution that allows them to be so consumer friendly, at least on the sign up and underwriting
and pricing side. All the way up until you actually start using their product. Yeah.
You got it. Yeah. Exactly. That's just not the norm in insurance. And the reason why is that most insurance companies are running off of really, really old technology. So that sort of is the front end of it.
It's actually interesting that you say that because now that I think about it, I don't remember ever getting a mailer from like State Farm or anyone like that's for anything except for something I sent for. I don't ever get anything from them saying like, we noticed you bought, I just got married, we noticed you bought engagement rings, we can insure that. It had to be me reaching out to State Farm and saying, hey, we'd like to add this or this. They don't know anything. Not that I'm asking.
They send a ton of direct mail. That's you're lucky.
Yeah. I think they send a lot of direct mail, but I don't see anything that is like actually tailored to me. I just flyer that's for anyone.
It's super generic. Yeah. That's exactly right. And the reason why is they don't actually know enough about you to do
that. Your spouse is good.
It is good. Yeah, maybe.
Depends on who you are in the chair.
Yeah. So the thing is, like, this gets into the whole privacy thing. Like, do I care if you have a lot of data about me? Well, it depends on how you use it.
Yeah.
If you're using it to make my life easier, that's great.
Yeah.
I'm usually totally cool with that. I think that's true of most people.
Yeah, I mean, I assume that everyone has the data about me, and that's the downside of this, I guess. But it's just reality, because like we talked this last time on the show. There's something about, I mean, you're totally on the right track like what we're talking about, but like there's just something about my expectation of dealing with certain brands is that like you're going to know enough about me to cater to what I want and not waste my time.
Yep.
And insurance is one of those that like, holy cow, is that a time suck if they don't do it right.
That's exactly right.
And they always don't do it right.
Yeah, they don't. And you run it. I mean, you can go and talk to people that work at big insurance companies and they're not dumb.
Yeah.
Like there are a lot of really smart people that work there and they want to make the consumer's life easier. But they're really hamstrung by the fact that they're built on super, super old technology. And it's really hard, like their job of moving from really old tech into new tech and making sure the data gets ported over and nothing breaks and it doesn't cause a disruption for any of the people in the business. That's really hard.
Yeah.
What we're doing is actually way easier. So we don't have any of that legacy stuff. We just built it from scratch. We built a super efficient system. It does everything that the customer expects. Like, it's way more fun, but it's also a lot easier. And, you know, one of the reasons I think that insurance is a little bit more backwards than some of the other, you know, consumer products or consumer financial products, things that you would compare them to, is that there hasn't been a lot of entry and exit. Like, can you think of a new insurance company?
Clearcover.
Well, yeah, you could think of like the
I mean, like, no, you're right. They're all, I mean, yeah, no.
Except for until now. And yeah. I think what's, you know, one of the things that has changed is that because people saw what happened when tech sort of invaded other areas of financial services, like lending, like payments, like asset management, they saw that pattern. And they say, well, hey, why wouldn't that pattern apply to insurance? And it should, really. Those are very similar industries. So that's causing more new entrants.
Why has insurance been so behind in the tech part of that?
I think it's more complicated. So you sort of needed, if you go to like the big insurance tech conferences now, you'll see all the same people that were at the big lending conferences 10 years
ago. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
And they see the pattern. But I think there are a number of things about lending that make it simpler.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing is that, you need lots and lots of capital to be in insurance relative to other industries because you need to basically reserve all this money in case some bad thing happens to a lot of your customers all at once. And you know, if you think about like Allstate, for example, they built up their capital over like 100 years of doing business. That's really hard. That's not practical for.
So yeah, I mean, I guess in reference to that, I guess one of the biggest things is just flat out time. Just takes a really long time to be able to accrue enough of whatever resource it might be to be able to offer anything new.
Yeah, it's attention and time. So you have the attention of people who know how to solve this problem from the tech and the customer perspective, and then you need money.
Yep.
And the one thing that's changed is the reinsurance markets have become a lot more sophisticated and really, really deep. So you can go to some of these guys like a Swiss Re or a Munich Re, and they're interested in trying new things. They have huge, huge amounts of money, more than the primary insurers do. You know, and they really, I think the value proposition of the insurance tech startups of we do things a little bit differently. You know, we can grow the market. You know, we can give you a whole bunch of data that you've never had before is really attractive to those guys. And that's why you see the big reinsurance companies sort of catalyzing this by backing the insurance tech companies.
So what would you say are sort of the next evolution of all of these changes? If we could go back and change everything about the way that the information is stored and used on the legacy insurer companies, like what would be the first thing you would change? Or would you just say no and do what you guys are doing and start completely new? Like the whole system is sort
of fractured. I think you have to start from scratch. So the way this works is you have new entrants who come in and start from scratch and they lay the groundwork.
Yep.
Some of them get bought and they get sort of absorbed into the big insurance companies. And some of the big insurance companies say, hey, look, that's really cool. We should invest. Now, because they have all these legacy tech issues, like I talked about, what costs us $10 million costs them $100 million.
Yes.
And that's okay because they actually have $100 million, but they have to be scared that they're going to lose their customers before they go and they do that. So I do think that legacy industry kind of depends on the upstarts like us to show them the path for innovation.
Do you see a place where rather than just them looking at it, but they start acquiring groups like you? Like, I just wonder if like if you have all this money, like at what point do you not just spend that some of that money to buy?
They have to. It's happening already.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's. You know, I think that you either have the insurance tech company that sort of didn't quite make it, and they get talent acquired, or you make it and you become a threat to them, and then it becomes a much bigger acquisition. Like you saw, you know, Allstate's a good example. They bought SquareTrade and they bought Esurance in the last 5 years.
The Esurance is the one that stands out for sure as like a great example of buying what is supposed to be what replaces you.
Yeah. And they have to, and it helps them, and it helps everybody. It's a healthy part of the ecosystem.
So where are things with regard to Kin now? It sounds like things are going very well.
They are. They're going well. I mean, none of this is easy. It's all hard. Yeah. So the one thing that I like to talk about is, you know, we are now solving problems. Like we last talked a year ago. We're now solving problems that we didn't realize we would have a year ago. And that's a good thing, right? Yeah. Like we had all these things that we knew we would have to solve. We tackled those. Congratulations. Now you have a whole new set of things you have to worry about. But that's sort of the natural.
What are some of the issues you guys are finding now that maybe you didn't? I mean, knowing you, I find it hard to believe there are a whole lot of problems that you didn't foresee. but at least like to have them become real is a little bit different situation.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, we switched from one of, I think a year ago, we were still sort of uncertain whether there would be demand for our product.
Okay. Right?
We had just raised our seed round, $3 million seed round. We had, you know, hundreds of customers. Fast forward a year later, now we have, you know, almost 10,000 customers, and we're a real business. And now the problems that we're tackling are ones of more of scaling and optimization. Whereas before it was more like, hey, do people even want what we're building?
Yeah.
And they're equally difficult, scaling and optimizing the business model.
How do you really get hard. People to go a different route? I mean, at the end of the day, like as much as we can make fun of the Allstates and things like that, like in the end, that's like my car got, you know, destroyed a couple months ago. And it's like, that's the first person I called was my, you know, whatever it was, Nationwide, whatever it was.
Yeah. I mean, we're not really in the realm of convincing people that they should do something different. We're in the realm of satisfying pent up demand.
Yep.
So we believe that there is a huge amount of pent up demand from people who want a more streamlined, more customer-friendly property insurance, and they also want to be able to shop and research it online, which is something that you can't do right now.
Yep.
So there are all these people. It's not the whole market. Yeah. It might be 10% of the market. It might be 20. No one's exactly sure. Who sort of want this more digital experience? And right now they're super underserved by the existing market. So that's where we come in. We're giving these guys what they already are.
So a good portion of these people end up finding you because, well, I guess you find each other. In a sense, I mean, these are people who are looking a different way, and they're looking for, because I was talking to Bobby Goodman from Trust just about this. Well, today we'll be doing it again soon, but like about the fact that when we're looking for new space, I don't want to call a broker. I don't want to answer questions. I don't want to fill out forms. I don't want to deal with this shit. I just want to go and find a whole bunch of spaces that look kind of like what I have envisioned in my head. And he's digitized the process to a point where I can look and take video, you know, tours.
Yeah.
And it makes, I would never have gone on Google and like, find me a video tour of whatever condos, whatever they were.
So how did you find out about Truss?
I knew about it, but like I found Truss the same way I suspect people are going to find Kin, which is that they're searching for insurances and things, or they're searching for commercial real estate spaces that are coming to them in a format that they wanted, which in Bobby's case was in the form of video and very simplistic. This is the power, the dollar per square foot, and this is the, you know, how much blah, 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 and here's the amenities, yada, yada. I'm going to find Kin the same way. Like, I'm looking for an insurance that covers a house that has XYZ, and like, I don't have to fill out all the, you provide me with it. Like, I assume it's a search.
Yeah, content marketing is super important in both cases. You know, that like, hey, how can I find out like basically what the parameters of this product are without it being a giant headache, is something that engages customers. You might want to know like, hey, how much would it cost to insure my house roughly without filling out a lot of form?
In that case, I'd find you that way. I would literally be like, how much would it cost to do this? And I would fill out the minimalist amount of stuff.
Yeah.
Whoever could give me the most responses out of the minimalist amount of fill out would be who I would go with.
Yeah, that's exactly. I think that works for a subset of the population, kind of like you, where you really kind of, that's what you're looking for already.
Yep.
So for us, you know, we'll get in front of that type of consumer on, social media. We do a lot of Facebook advertising.
Yep. I see your ads on Facebook. I'm on that pixel.
We got you.
You've got, you have me for life now.
Yeah,
exactly. But no, you make a really good point there. Cause I mean, in all reality, and this is, I think, is true just based on the sheer number of people like yourself, myself, that I talk to, the population of me is growing. I don't know if that's a good thing for the world, but the population of me is growing, where people are like, I don't want to sit here and fill out forms. And like, what used to be like, oh, the autofill, like that was cool. Now it's like, dude, I don't even want to do that. Like, I just want to give you like the small amount of information, and you'd be like, all right, this is probably you.
And it's not just young people either. We get this question a lot, and
I suspect it's older people, because they don't know what the hell to put down, and they've have so many random addresses stored in their head that they can't remember. Was that the new house, a new roof, and an old house? Like, it's just too hard.
It's everybody, and people have been trained by other products to expect it to work a certain way. And now if you're presented with, oh, just to get like a quote on your insurance for your home, you have to fill out 3 pages. People are like, oh, that's weird. Are you sure? Like, I don't have to do that with my bank.
Yeah.
So you have two things. First of all, people who are digital natives are now old. Like, I'm a digital native. I'm 37.
Yeah. I hope that's not old yet. Is that old?
Well, we're old enough that we're like buying houses and doing real grown up things.
Some of us.
And then you have, you know, people who are not digital natives, but who have become, you know, the internet has become an increasingly important part of their life. And it's set this expectation of like, things should be easy. That's a good thing.
Well, I hope that everything continues to grow for you guys. I think you will, because I really do think that the way that insurance is currently, like, I mean, I can give you a laundry list. The car was one of them. Family members with house stuff is another one. Events and things that we host. It's a pain. Every single time is a huge pain.
So yeah.
Anything that would make that less of a pain, I am for. And I suspect anyone is a position who you to like go through the insurance process. I think that, like, to your point, the more of us that start getting into the home buying and into the car, the actual buying and not leasing renter, you know, world, is going to be like, whoa, like, I don't, you know, we don't do things. This is the only thing on earth that we do this way still. So they will find you.
I think they will. Yeah.
And if not, you know, Facebook is good, but like, you go to Instagram, they own that too. So we'll get them. Sean, thanks so much for coming and taking the time. Where do people go to learn more about Kin, and where do they go to make sure that they too get your Facebook ads?
Kin.com.
Very easy. Very simple. Sean, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Of course, you can catch this episode and more at technori.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.